to look at his word. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you are the Son of God, that you are the Saviour of the world. We pray that you might continue to teach us and open our eyes to see more and more clearly who you are and what that means for our lives and what it means to trust you in this world. As we come to look at your word now and this new series in Mark, we pray that you'd be at work among us, lifting up yourself and drawing people to you. And we ask all of these things in your name. Amen. Well, it's great that we're living on this side of COVID-19, an event that affected the world in such a major way. There was nowhere in the world that you could go to escape COVID. It was everywhere, and it had ramifications right around the entire world. It was such a big event that it actually demanded a response right around the world. And so governments all around the world had to come up with their COVID response to the situation. And so we had all the joys of things like face masks, social distancing, no travelling, not being able to meet up with others, no singing in church, which had its advantages in some quarters. And also the effect of, it affected toilet paper usage, right around the world. And so as I talk about those things, it sort of brings back cold shivers, doesn't it, as we think about how horrific all that was. But as big as COVID was, it was actually nothing compared to another world event and its effect on the world. An event that happened 2,000 years ago, but which still has ongoing ramifications today and is still impacting the world in a major way. And similarly, is also an event that still requires a response. And so we're told about it in our new series in Mark's Gospel that we're beginning today with the coming of King Jesus into the world. Mark's message in his gospel is that Jesus' coming was such a huge event for the world that its ramifications are massive and that it continues to demand a response from people in an ongoing way. COVID was a world event that came and went, thankfully, but Jesus' coming is an event that's effects are ongoing and continue to demand a response. But unlike COVID, thankfully, Jesus' continuing effects is not bad news for the world, but rather good news because of who he is and what he came to do. And so it'd be helpful if you have Mark 1 open as we look at it today. If you've got a Bible there, that'd be handy. Mark opens his gospel and starts his chapter by setting up some very big expectations about Jesus coming. And so in the very first verse, he lays all his cards on the table about Jesus and so says this in verse 1. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so he says there's going to be some good news about a man who's called Jesus, and he's the Christ and the Son of God. And then he'll spend the rest of his letter unpacking this big claim and showing us why it's true. The second big expectation that he gives us right from the start is that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. So we keep reading in verse 2 and 3. It's written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. So the Old Testament prophets of Malachi and Isaiah, who are actually quoted here, predicted that there would be a voice that would come calling out in the desert who would actually prepare the way for the Lord's coming. that God himself was coming and that this voice would prepare people for God's coming. And so the voice is a little bit like a phone call. You receive the phone call informing you that somebody really important is going to be coming to actually give you time to prepare for their coming. And so there's this big expectation that God's coming, and so this voice is preparing for his coming. John the Baptist was that voice, as Mark tells us in verse 4 and 5. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. And so the way that John prepares people for Jesus' coming was actually calling them to repent and to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Because he was actually preparing the way for one who would actually not only bring forgiveness of sins, but who would also change and baptize people inwardly by the Holy Spirit. And so John goes on to say in verse 8, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so there's this big expectation that when Jesus comes, he's going to deal with sin in a new and significant way. And so these words here from John are rich in Old Testament prophecies. John's actually tapping into Old Testament promises like Ezekiel 36 that tells us that God will come to live in his people, that he'll come to cleanse them from their sins. And that with the Spirit living in them, that God's people will have changed hearts and they'll have changed desires in their lives to live God's way. And so Jesus coming into the world would totally change how sin is dealt with from that point on. And Jesus would actually change people inwardly in their lives so that they don't continue in sin. And so there's these massive expectations. God Almighty is coming into the world as the Christ, as the King, and as the Saviour. And it would be such a big event that it would demand a response from people in an ongoing way from that time on. Because people's sin would be able to be dealt with by Jesus. And so what that would mean, the effect of people's sin is actually tied to their response to Jesus. That he would either bring judgment and they'd perish in their sin, or they'd be miraculously saved from their sin. Jesus coming to earth is that significant. Jesus' baptism also shows us how important he is. Verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." So God's voice from heaven here is verifying Jesus' identity as his son. He's telling us how important he is and ultimately the importance of listening to him. And so what's happening at Jesus' baptism here is a bit like an election night speech. We've just had the referendum, but it reminded us of an election night. So generally what happens on an election night? Well, you get to about 9:30 on election night, and by that time it's become pretty clear who the new leader is. And so that new leader comes out and they give their victory speech to everybody. They haven't actually been sworn in yet by the Governor General, but they claim victory as the new leader. It's that certain. And so similarly, God's giving the victory speech here at Jesus' baptism about his son, who from this point on is going to be the new leader of the world. And so it's no surprise that we see Jesus being tempted by Satan in the very next verse, in verse 13, because Jesus has come to deal with sin and defeat Satan. The new king has arrived. And so there's all these massive expectations about King Jesus before he actually comes. His coming into the world is going to change the world because he's coming as the King and Saviour. He's going to deal with sin in a new and significant way. And so his coming is such a big event that it demands an ongoing response. And so after all these expectations about Jesus that Mark's built up for us up to that point, it's left us wondering, well, what is Jesus going to do when he actually starts his ministry? What's he going to say? Well, the first thing we see Jesus do is that he tells us that the king has come. So verse 14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So the kingdom of God is not a term that's seen in the Old Testament. It's not an Old Testament phrase, because Jesus' coming is actually the start of the kingdom of God. He's the king of God's kingdom. So what actually is the kingdom of God that he's talking about here? Well, when you talk about a kingdom, it's an area that a king reigns or rules over. In the kids' spot, we thought a bit about the monarchy in England. So King Charles rules over the kingdom of the British Empire. England, Australia, Canada, other countries in the Commonwealth. Bill Gates has a kingdom as well. What's his kingdom? Well, it's the Microsoft computer world. That's the spot that he's king. So many kingdoms exist around the world, places where kings have an area that they rule over. And so with God's son arriving on earth, the first thing that he announces is that his rule or his reign on earth as king has begun. As we heard in that voice at Jesus' baptism, Jesus has great authority because he's the king of the kingdom. His rule has started from this point. And this is particularly good news for people because Jesus calls people to be part of his kingdom by treating him as king. Lots of teenagers are doing their HSC at the moment. Our thoughts and prayers are with Rach at the moment and all her exams and things, which I think finish this week. But when you think about senior years at school, it's the start of a whole new era in a way. Generally, you get to sit in a better spot in the school than all the juniors. You get lots of privileges that you didn't have before. Teachers actually start treating you differently. They actually start treating you like adults. Can you believe it? It's a whole new era. It's a whole lot better. Jesus' coming is particularly good news because he's opened up a whole new era. And so now people are able to be part of the kingdom of God, something that's more valuable than anything this life is able to offer. Something that's actually worth losing everything for in order to be part of. And so what response is needed to Jesus coming as king of God's kingdom? Well, in verse 15, we see that it means three things. Turning back to him as king by repenting, trusting in him as king by believing, and thirdly, following him as king by serving. And so we see all of these three things in Jesus calling his disciples in the following verses. And so they're actually a model for us of these three things. So we keep reading, verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I'll make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. So Jesus calls ordinary people to be part of his kingdom. And so we see that in these ordinary fishermen who actually respond to Jesus. They start treating him as king and do these three things. And so let's just unpack a little bit what they do and how they respond to King Jesus. Firstly, they turn back to him as king by repenting. See, real repentance has to go all the way to the heart and is proven outwardly by what you do. And so that's these fishermen. They totally leave behind their old ways. They leave their nets and their old life, and they leave them totally behind in order to follow Jesus. Now, in a triathlon, you swim, ride, and run. And so at the end of the swim leg, you got to leave your goggles and your swimming cap, if you got one, and then you go on the bike leg. And at the end of the bike leg, you actually got to leave your bike. You don't actually take it with you on the run. You leave it behind and then you start running. And so each new leg that you get to means a leaving behind of the past. And similarly, when we turn to Jesus, it also means a leaving behind of the old. Leaving behind the old way where we've been calling the shots. Leaving behind choosing our own way. Turning back to King Jesus means leaving behind our old ways of sin. Leaving all the things that were not pleasing to him. So real repentance means coming to that point in your life where you decide that you're going to commit to loving God's righteousness from that point on, and committing to that from your heart, where you commit to God's righteousness and leave behind all the old ways and treat them as not important anymore. As we look at Mark's gospel, we see that one of the big things that Jesus keeps finding is something that grieves him the most is what he calls hardness of heart, something that he keeps finding in most of the Israelites. But I wonder about you. What does Jesus see in your heart? A hardness that says, I'm doing things my way. I'm still calling the shots and I like to keep God at a distance, because in reality, it's all about my life and my kingdom and not his. And besides, I'm a bit too attached to my enjoyable sins to truly repent from the heart. Too attached to being comfortable to make all those sacrifices of true repentance. But Jesus says the right response, if you want to be part of his kingdom, is to make him king by repenting from your heart. Secondly, the second response that we see in the disciples is needing to trust in him as king by believing. So Simon and Peter were fishing in the Sea of Galilee. They were throwing their nets in the water, and Jesus said, leave it. And they did. They followed him and walked away from it all. On a bit further, James and John in verse 20 are in their boats preparing their nets. Jesus says, follow me. And again, They do. They walk away and leave the lot. See, they want to be part of the kingdom of God, and they see it as worth more than everything else in this life because they've recognized who Jesus is as king. And so they believe and they obey. See, that doesn't actually mean that everybody does that and believes in Jesus like that. As you look at Mark's gospel, you actually see that Jesus polarizes people almost straight away. So the Jews, for instance, were actually looking for a pat on the back from God when he arrived. But Jesus actually started talking about repenting and having a soft heart. And their response was all they wanted to do was kill him. But those that want to be part of the kingdom of God have got to trust in Jesus as king by believing in him and obeying him in their life. The third response of the disciples is to follow Jesus as king by serving him. So Simon and Andrew had to leave fishing and start fishing for men. They had to stop serving self and start serving Jesus. They had to stop building their own kingdoms and start building Jesus' kingdom. And so getting back to the triathlon, in each leg of the triathlon, you leave something behind, but in the new leg, you've actually got to get some new equipment for what's ahead. And so at the end of the swim, you leave your goggles behind, but you need to take up your bike and get ready for what's ahead. And similarly, when we turn to Jesus, means leaving behind the old ways of serving self, building just our own kingdom, and taking up starting to build his kingdom. Leaving behind the old ways where we call the shots what we do, to taking up the new way of listening to Jesus and serving him and being prepared to step out in faith to what he wants us to do. We're not king ourselves. Rather, we need to submit to King Jesus and let him rule in our lives as we build his kingdom. Verse 17 there was a very significant verse for myself, something that God used a lot in my life when he called me to become a minister. And so I was very convicted by that verse and felt Jesus saying to me, follow me, leave the farm and farming, and I'll make you a fisher of men if you follow me. Now, Jesus was king. And following him as king meant serving him wherever he wanted me to be, and I needed to be prepared to obey. And so in a way, this verse has actually been a motto of my life, as I've left things behind in order to follow Jesus, in order to serve him in my life. See, we must be prepared to follow Jesus as king by serving him, even if it costs, even if it requires lots of faith. Because from our hearts, we need to be seeking to build his kingdom and not our own, because Jesus is king and not us. And so at the start of the chapter, Mark gave us all these expectations about Jesus before he actually comes. Because his coming would actually change the world from that point on and would have ongoing ramifications for people in how they needed to be responding to Jesus. Because Jesus is the Son of God. He's come as the King of God's kingdom. And so therefore, as we've seen, Jesus calls people everywhere to give their hearts to him as king so that they can be part of his kingdom. And so as you think about that, I wonder about King Jesus and his kingdom and his call on your life. Jesus' call on your life is to turn from your old ways that haven't been pleasing to him and to repent, to actually trust in him as king by believing in him in your life, and then following him as king as you seek to serve him in your life. All these things that we need to do in a continuing way, not a once-off way, treating him as king from our heart from that point on, as we live as part of his kingdom. And so, as we've seen Jesus say these words to the fishermen in this passage, he still says the same thing to you today. Come, follow me. Be part of my kingdom. Help build my kingdom in your life. Have you heard that call? Mark says that Jesus' coming is good news for all people. And as the chapter's unfolded, we've seen that happen as people have started to join Jesus' kingdom. But what about you? Are you part of the kingdom of God that Jesus is king of? Have you heard King Jesus' call to leave behind the old ways, to trust in him and follow him, and keep on doing that in an ongoing way in your life? If you've never taken that step, today would be a great day to do that, to put things right with King Jesus. Or if you need to recommit to King Jesus in some of these areas, today would also be a great day to put right things with him. All that's required is from our heart saying ABC to Jesus. Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner and have been going on a wrong path that hasn't been pleasing to you, but Lord, from this point on, I repent and I actually turn back to you. B, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you really are the King, the Son of God. And so I'm going to believe in you and obey you in my life from this point on. And C, Jesus, I commit. I commit my life to you. I want to be serving you. I want to be building your kingdom. I want to be pleasing you. I want you to be at work through my life and using it for your glory from this point on. And so please have your way in me, King Jesus. See, there's no one more important in this world than the Lord Jesus. And the reason is because he's the king of God's kingdom. And therefore, he needs to be the king in our hearts. Because there's nothing more valuable in this world than being part of the kingdom of God. And being part of the kingdom of God is something that it's worth losing everything in this world in order to have in your life. Friends, may you be treating Jesus in the right way. This massive world event that's still ongoing, that requires a response, may that be you in your life as you've repented and believed and are serving Jesus in your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you've come into this world as king. We thank you for the good news that is. And so, Lord, we pray that you might help us to be people who have soft hearts towards you, who actually treat you as king in our own lives personally. And so, Jesus, please help us to be turning back to you as king and repenting and leaving behind that old. And please also, Lord, help us to be trusting in you by believing and trusting and obeying you in our lives. And also, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be following you as we seek to serve you with the things that you've given us. As you work through us, may we build your kingdom, we pray. And so, Jesus, we pray that you'd help us to love and honour you and trust you from our hearts, and help us to continue to do this all our days. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.